God has blessed us with an ability that is a blessing, enabling us to live in this world and make decisions, to plan for the future. It's called our imagination. Our ability to think ahead, to go through scenarios of considering how we should act or how we should react in certain situations. But while the imagination is a wonderful blessing, it can also be a very difficult obstacle if we allow it to be. Because we are human beings, and because there are things we care about in this world, such as family and friends, sometimes, if we're not careful, our imaginations will get the better of us. And in the process of running scenarios and imagining outcomes, sometimes we can imagine worst-case scenarios, situations dealing with family, loved ones, ourselves. Maybe it has to do with health. Maybe it has to do with our job or school. But a lot of times, because our imagination gets the better of us, we can eventually come to start to worry about things. The concept of worrying, the definition of worry, is to be or cause to be anxious or uneasy, to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts, to be troubled. It's not just that I'm imagining and then taking stock or planning for, okay, how will I handle this situation? How would I handle this situation? It's allowing possible future thoughts about what outcome may happen or whatnot, and then dwelling on them to the point that I'm troubled, I'm distracted, I can't focus, and certainly I'm not serving God the way that I should. That's when worry becomes a problem. That's when having concern about a situation, and there's always situations, whether we're concerned about our kids, concerned about our spouse, concerned about our job or whatnot, there's going to be concerns. And because we're human, because we have brains, sometimes you can't turn off. Sometimes we're going to think about that type of stuff. But when concern turns into worry, that worry becomes doubt, it becomes troubling, it becomes disturbing, and I'm dwelling on those things, that's when we run into a problem. This morning we want to look at three passages, just three this morning, and consider the words of the writers in these passages and consider what's being said to deal with the issue of worry in our lives. In Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 25, Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 25, as Jesus preaches in the Sermon on the Mount, he says in verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Verse 27, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit," that is length of time, "to his stature," or his life? In fact, the ironic thing is, if anything, science has proven that worrying too much can actually take years away from your life. Jesus says, which of you by worrying about something can actually add time on to your life? Which of you by worrying can change anything? Then in verse 31, Jesus says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?" Verse 32, "For after all these things, the Gentiles seek." We've talked before about the phrase Gentiles and how that these are non-Jews, people who are outside of Jehovah. They don't know Jehovah. And how a lot of times a phrase, Paul uses it as well, Gentiles, not only references the actual group of people who were non-Jews, but is also representative of being without God. And when Jesus refers to the Gentiles here in verse 32, that's what he's referring to. People who are without God worry about these things. people who are in God or have God, people who are following and serving God, should not worry about these things. Verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Which is to say that tomorrow is going to have its own problems, its own cares, its own concerns. You can't deal with today's problems and deal with tomorrow's. You focus on now. You deal with the problems you face now. Let tomorrow come and it'll bring its own issues that you have to deal with tomorrow. Now, is Jesus saying that we shouldn't plan ahead? No, that's not what Jesus' point is. Is he saying we shouldn't anticipate possible scenarios that may require certain actions or reactions from us? Or to question, how am I going to act or react in this type of situation? Or in this meeting coming up on Friday, how should I react to this or that? That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's describing the sense of dwelling on issues over which you have no control. You deal with the things you have control over. You leave the rest to God. So this is why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you allow that to be your focus, rather than the issues of this world, then you're going to follow him and allow God to handle the things that you don't control. When Jesus says in verse 33, these things shall be added to you, what Jesus means is these things will be added to you as God sees fit. Paul, the apostle, himself acknowledged in Philippians chapter 4 that there were times, or sorry, Philippians chapter 3, that there were times, Philippians 4, I was right, that he suffered need. There were times he suffered need. There were times that he abounded and times that he was hungry. There were times where Paul had to go without food. There were times where Paul maybe had to scrounge for clothing or for a place to stay. But when Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, these things shall be added to you, God knows what you need. God is aware of your troubles. He is aware of what's going on. God will give you and bless you as he sees fit. You focus on seeking him first, his righteousness, his kingdom. Let everything else take care of itself. You take care of what you're supposed to do. And what's interesting is that throughout the scriptures, this message continues to be consistent. In Philippians 4, verse 6, Philippians 4 and in verse 6, here's what Paul says about worry. He says, be anxious for nothing. Some translations have, do not worry. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's important that we point out that Paul says that when we pray to God, when we're struggling, when we're worrying, in everything by prayer and supplication, that's in humility, offering up requests for myself or for others, with thanksgiving, the acknowledgement that God has been with me, he has blessed me, he's helped me through past problems, he will continue to be with me. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Ask God. And then Paul goes on to say in verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What Paul does not say is let your requests be made known to God and God will answer and say yes to everything you ask for. That's not what Paul says. That God will, the peace of God will be over you because you know God will do as you have asked. That's not what Paul says. He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. To what end? Guard them to what end? We'll put this together with what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. What is my focus to be on? What is my purpose to be? It is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So when I have issues in life that arise, I make my request known to God, and then I refocus myself on seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the peace of God, that peace in knowing that I have laid my requests at the feet of the Almighty, that He is aware of what I'm struggling with, of what I'm worried about, of what I'm anxious over, and now it will be what it will be. What God's will is, will be. What guarding of hearts and minds will happen? Now I can focus my energy, my thoughts, my imagination on being the proper servant of God and servant of my brethren and servant of my neighbor that I need to be. Now I can focus on seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness because I've given everything to the Lord. This is why Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5, Peter describes being in submission to one another. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, verse 5. Notice he talks about submission, he talks about humility, and then he quotes Old Testament. Peter does. He says, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. How does Peter apply this? He applies it, first of all, in our dealings with each other. That's how he applies it, firstly. He says, you need to submit to one another, be clothed with humility in your dealings with each other. Why? Because God wants servants of who are going to serve each other in humility and submission. But then secondly, notice how Peter applies it, verse 6. Therefore, not only humble yourselves before your brethren, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. You don't need to exalt yourself. Thus, here's your humility. Let God exalt you. This is why Peter emphasizes under the mighty hand of God. Because God, He is the one with the power. He is the one with the authority. He is the one in control. Submit yourself to God. That mighty hand of God. Let Him exalt you, verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. That's why. Notice the characteristics that are involved in our praying to God. When Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right, if that's the case, how am I supposed to go to God? What type of attitude, what type of mindset am I supposed to have? Submission and humility. Knowing that He is mighty, knowing that He has all control, cast your cares on Him. Because He cares about you. Now put that into perspective for a second. That the God of heaven and earth, the God that created the universe, which is so vast, that you and I cannot comprehend it. But the God of all things, the Almighty, the Creator, He cares about you. And not just you all on earth. He cares about you, Neil. He cares about you, Terry. He cares about you, Michael. He cares about you individually. He's counted how many hairs are on your head. He knows what's going on in your life. He wants you to cast your care on Him. So that we can then do what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So that then our hearts will be guarded. We will have that peace that passes all understanding. Now, on our slide, notice what we have here. We should not worry, but rather focus on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When we find ourselves worrying, we should pray. When we pray, we should humble ourselves as we cast our cares upon Him. But I want you to consider these verses again. Consider these scriptures again and notice specifically what it says. Not just that Jesus says in Matthew 6, you should not worry. Jesus says, do not worry. Paul in Philippians 4, he doesn't just say, you shouldn't be anxious, or when you are anxious, you should pray. He says, do not be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Do not worry. When Peter writes this in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, you should cast all your cares upon Him, verse 7. That's not what he says. He says, humble yourselves. Not you should. He says, humble yourselves. Cast your cares. These are definitive statements. These aren't suggestions. This isn't advice. These are commandments. We talked this morning, mentioned it in the course of our study, that Peter describes how we've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. One of the pieces of equipment God has given us that involves prayer, obviously, but one of the things that it addresses is the fact that as human beings, we have imagination. And sometimes when we're not careful, that imagination runs wild. And especially as parents, grandparents, people who have loved ones, we tend to worry most about them. But not worry over things that we have control over, because generally you don't worry over things that you can control. 90%, 95% of the things we worry about is the stuff we have no control over at all. What's going to happen when my kids go off to college? What's going to happen when they start driving? These are the types of things we think about as parents, as grandparents. These are the things we have no control over. These are the very things that Paul says we should make our request known to God. God, watch over my family. God, if it's in your will, as Jesus prayed three times in the garden, not my will, but thine be done, watch over my family. But in the end, what we have to understand is we can offer the requests to God. We offer them in submission and in humility. We offer up our cares. But in the end, God has control. The beauty of it is that now we understand that what will happen is God's will. What will happen will be because God has allowed it to happen. And God has reasons. We may not always know the reasons. We may never know the reasons. But there are reasons why God allows things to happen. Things will be what God wants them to be. And I, who cannot see the big picture, I, who have no control beyond me, myself, and I cannot obsess over trying to control things that are not within my right nor ability to control. They are only God's. It's easy to say that, though, isn't it? It's easy to say, don't worry, pray. When Peter, when he says here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, what Peter does not mean is, God, this is what I'm worried about. Please help me take care of these things, or please let these things be work out okay. In Christ's name I pray, amen. And then continue to worry and dwell and obsess. That's not what Peter means when he says casting all your cares on Him. The term casting means to cast away. not to share. God, I'm sharing this with you now. Together, let's worry about it. It's casting it away. God, I can't control this. I have no ability to determine the outcome of this situation. So I'm going to trust you that it will be what you want it to be. And that I will seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Because that's all I can do. I can't control other people. I can't control my coworkers. I can't control my classmates. I can't control situations that are going to occur. All I can control is my example, my words, my conduct. That's it. The things within my ability and authority to control, it's just me. So, when we consider what these scriptures tell us, we find that we are commanded not to worry. We are commanded to pray. We are commanded to humble ourselves. We are commanded to submit to God. This is a difficult one, isn't it? Being commanded, do not worry. That requires us to have the ability to determine when we have crossed over from having appropriate concern, putting appropriate thought and anticipation into how should I react, how should I deal with the situation, should this take place? When we flip from that to obsession, to dwelling, to worrying to the point that we miss out on what all three of these scriptures are teaching us, that we are to trust God. Because what happens when we worry is in essence that, yeah, I know I'm supposed to pray to God, yeah, I'm supposed to cast my cares on Him, but I don't trust Him, so I have to think about it. I have to dwell on it. I have to obsess over it. Does it make you feel better? No, it makes me feel worse. So why are you doing it? I don't know. I'm human. But we have to be able to recognize that what do all these scriptures have in common? Matthew chapter 6, what does Jesus say? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. God knows what your needs are. God is aware of what's happening. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Well, what is Jesus, even though He doesn't use the term trust, what does He imply? After all these things, the Gentiles who don't have God, this is what they worry about. This is what they think about. People who have God trust Him. They trust that He knows best. They trust His will. And even though there are going to be times and there are going to be things that happen that we don't like, things that are going to happen in life that we wish hadn't happened, does that mean God has abandoned us? See Job as a case study for that. No, God hasn't abandoned us. It means that God has allowed this to happen for a reason. It is His will that it happened, and we are to continue to seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. When Paul says, do not worry, be anxious for nothing, let your request be made known to God. Then he says, and the peace of God which passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds. What does that require, though? How is it that this peace of God, that I'm going to have this peace of God, giving my requests to Him? Even though Paul doesn't use the word trust, it's implied, because you have made your request to God, you now trust that He has heard you, that He will address it one way or another. It may be yes, it may be no, it may be maybe later. But the peace of God in knowing that now it's in God's court. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to dwell on it. Now it's God's. And it will be what He wants it to be. I trust His power. I trust His might. As Peter says in 1 Peter 5, the mighty hand of God. The powerful hand of God. He alone has the ability to control these things. So when I cast my cares upon Him, what am I trusting? I'm trusting that it is, as Peter tells me, that He cares about me. That He cares about Michael. He cares about what's happening in his life. He cares about what he's worried about. And He wants Michael to cast his cares on Him. That's hard. When you have children, when you got loved ones, when you have people going through difficult times in their lives, health issues, it's hard. But it's especially in those times that we have to trust God. Anyone who says that they don't have a worry in the world, they're not telling the truth. Everybody has a source of worry. The question is, how are we going to deal with it? How are we going to handle it? People, as Jesus says, who have Jehovah, they give their worry to God. They trust that He has the power. They trust that He will exalt you in due time. They trust that God cares about them. Therefore, they cast their cares on Him, because God wants us to cast our cares on Him. There's one last definition for worry that I want to share with you this morning. The last definition for worry: to disturb the peace of mind of. When Paul tells us that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, worry can weaken our trust and reliance on Jehovah. Worry can weaken our focus on seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness. Worry can distract us from being the proper servant of God and proper servant of my brethren and proper servant of my neighbor that I need to be. Worry is fear. That's what it boils down to. I'm worried because I'm afraid. I'm worried because I fear possible outcomes. Never mind the fact that the majority of our worst case scenarios are never going to come about. In the end, worry is fear. And to quote Dune, fear is the mind killer. Fear is contrary to trust. And if I am to trust in God, I have to let Him be Jehovah. I have to let Him take control and allow myself to submit and be humble. As hard as it is, as difficult as it is, I have to realize, let Thy will be done. We all have issues in our life that we worry about sometimes. But there's only one thing we can control, and that's ourselves. Everything else we must entrust to God. Will you do that this morning? For those of us who are not Christians, we have a whole lot more that we should be concerned about than just issues in this life. But you know what? God has placed it within our control to address that problem. The problem of sin, the problem of judgment one day, being condemned to eternal torment. God has offered us a solution to that problem, and that is Christ Jesus and Him crucified. The conditions upon which we must meet in order to obtain salvation and forgiveness of sins: he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We can be baptized this morning. We have control over that. I have control over my decisions, whether or not I'm going to submit to God or not. I can choose to submit to God this morning, and then I can have that peace of God, knowing that God is for me. And if God is for us, Romans 8, who can be against us? That being the case, those of us who are Christians, just because because we're Christians doesn't mean we're not susceptible to worry, to issues in life that cause us pain, that cause us to be fearful. But God has given us a means to address it, to cope with it, to deal with it, to put it aside so that we can focus on serving Him. And if you're having problems doing that, if you're having problems dealing with issues in life and you need prayers for strength or for encouragement, maybe because you've been distracted by these things, maybe you've also fallen to temptation, you've fallen into sin, and you'd like to ask prayers for the congregation. You can do that now. God cares about you. Your brethren care about you. The people in this building care about you. Will you make your life right with God this morning? If so, come forward as we stand and sing.